Well, good morning. My name is Steve Tomlinson, and I'm one of the teaching pastors of Shelter Rock Church. It's great to be with you today. Hey, Jackie mentioned that Pastor Jerry's preaching in Westbury, and as you know, we like to do that every now and then, mix it up and have our preachers preach in different places. But last week, he went away to visit his son up in college in Massachusetts, and he attended church. So this is what he said when he came back at our staff meeting. He says, "Nothing compares to Shelter Rock Syosset. That is the best church." And so that is what Pastor Jerry says about you when you're not within listening range. He just loves worshiping with you guys, and that is so cool. Hey, people have asked me, "Hey, Pastor Steve, I understand you tore your quadricep tendon in the summer. How is that going?" Well, I'm not ready to dance yet, so you don't have to worry about that. There will be no dancing this morning, but I am exercising again. I'm walking pretty normal, so that healing is going just the way it's supposed to be, so I'm very happy about that. So we're beginning a brand new message series. It is called Mingle, Match, Harmony. You might figure out where we got those names. And we're going to be dealing with relationships, primarily dating relationships, marriage relationships, and how we interrelate to one another, basically in all of our relationships, particularly on this topic today. And I want to draw your attention to a story in my life, which is kind of a milestone. So I'm a senior in high school, and I fall in love for the first time. That's very, very exciting. Now, where did I meet this girl? It was at a Youth for Christ campus life meeting at a club that Pastor Jack led. You know, back then, why do you go to a youth group? It's to meet people. So by the end of that senior year, I am now, you know, in love. And the girl I am dating, she asked a very important question. She said, "What college do you want to go to?" And I said, "Well, my plan is this. I'm going to go 2 years to Stony Brook University, save a little money, and then I'm going to transfer to this Christian college called the King's College, where I'll find my wife." And she responded and said, "Well, if you're going to the King's College to find your wife, I'm going there now, and I'll be there when you get there." Well, it sounded like a plan, and she registered for that. But what was, you know, funny and what brought this all to mind was a few weeks ago, I was at the Westbury campus. And the Westbury campus distinctive is it has lots of college students. So I'm talking to these students from Adelphi, from Hofstra, and the ones I was talking to were all from their freshman year. I mean, they're having great freshman years, which really bothered me. And you know how you're talking to somebody and the person you're talking to sparks a mental note and you start drifting off in your own thoughts? Well, that was happening. Because while these young women were telling me about their phenomenal freshman year at Hofstra and Adelphi, I am thinking back, I had an awful freshman year at Stony Brook. You know what happened? That lovely woman who went away to college to be there when I get there, about a month after she went up to that college, she discovered something. I was not the only Christian guy alive. Sometimes in Long Island, you can get that impression. But she goes to this college, a Christian college, and there are other fish in the sea. And so she gave me that very polite conversation. You may have been there. "Let's just be friends." And, you know, and that began. She left me. I'm abandoned. And I was brokenhearted. But this also began my journey of the intricacies of relationships. They're hard trying to figure them out. And you know what makes this story I just told you even funnier? So in between services, my leg was getting a little stiff, so I went back to Pastor Jack's office, and I sat there, and I pulled my phone out while Stephanie was leading worship here, and I just looked because I felt it vibrate, and it was a message from that woman. She said, "I listened to your sermon just now, recalling our dating relationship." And she had a completely different perspective as to what happened in that. She's in another part of the country. I just thought it was hysterical. But that is the nature and the complexity of relationships. They're hard. But you know what? Into this world of confusing relationships, confusing dating, comes Jesus with some words of wisdom for us today that we are going to avail ourselves of. But before we open our Bibles, let's open our hearts in prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you that we have had the privilege today of worshiping you in song and hearing your scripture read. Now, Lord, we have that great privilege of sitting at the feet of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and hearing him teach us on what matters most. Father, we pray that you would speak to each of us with exactly what we need. And in the end, we pray that your Son, our Lord, will be glorified. And if there's anyone in this room who has never entered into a living relationship with Jesus, we pray that something about this morning will resonate with them and draw them to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what I'd love you to do. Open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. If you're using one of our Bibles, you'll find this on page 971 in any of the Bibles located around the room. And if you have your own Bible, just look three quarters into the book, and you're going to come right to Gospel of Matthew. Now, we drop in on this scripture. We're in the middle of something called the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus is telling us what kingdom living is like in his kingdom. And at verse 25, we join the conversation and we read this. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So if you were just to take a guess, what is the key verse in this whole little section here? My guess is we'd all agree. It's verse 33, which says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So in life, you have a basic choice. Jesus is laying it out. Many of us have chosen point A. Some of us give choice B. Here's your choices. I can choose to worry. How many of you like that choice? And let's be honest. If we're truthful, we probably all raise our hand. Yes, I like the worry choice. I worry all the time. And thank you for the honesty. We have one honest person here. I'll raise my hand with her. I have another honest person. We worry a lot. But Jesus gives us another choice. It says you can worry or you can pursue my kingdom. You can pursue the kingdom of God. And that is what is really going to impact our relationships. So let's unpack that verse just for a minute because this is what it looks like. And I'm using the rubric of relationships. In all your relationships, make the kingdom of God your priority. Now, what will that look like? Let me break it down very quickly based on the verse. It comes out from the verse very nicely. First, pursue God's kingdom. I'm aiming for it. Seek his kingdom. Number two, pursue God's righteousness. The way God wants things done, not the way I want things done. And thirdly, trust in God, and all these things will be added unto you. That's trust. So this verse breaks down very nicely in three simple ways. I am to pursue God's kingdom, which means his way of doing things, pursue the righteousness, which he has given us a plan and a description of, and I'm to keep trusting God in all of my relationships. Now, it is fair to say that what does this passage have to do with relationships? I don't get that. You know, well, first of all, I want you to see this, that these things that we just described are all interrelated. They are all interrelated. In some respects, they are one and the same as we move in a direction. And what we're finding is trying to describe what this verse is about. There is a principle of biblical interpretation that if you know it, you can interpret almost every passage of the Bible. Here it is. Context determines the meaning. In other words, if you know the context of a passage, you can pretty much figure out what is being said. Our problem when we study the Bible is we often haven't read the verse before or the verse after. And so we take a verse out of context and we don't understand it. But a verse in context leads us to understanding. Now, here's something you may not know, but when Matthew was writing his gospel, when Paul was writing his letters, did he put chapter 1 and then go verse 1? No. You know when that was added to our Bibles? About 500 years ago. In fact, it was a guy on horseback when he did it. And the joke is that every time the horse skipped a thing, he put a verse in a wrong spot. Because sometimes we have verses like, where did that verse come from? But when Matthew was written, chapter 7 was not there. It just flowed right into from what we just read to what follows. And that's what helps us understand that this verse that we have just heard, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. How that connects to relationships are the verses that follow. So let's drop into Matthew chapter 7 and look at the first 6 verses there. And we read this. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your father, to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Okay, there you got 3 principles from Jesus as to how we relate to that together in our relationships. And those principles are flowing right out of seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So, in all your relationships, pursue the kingdom. Now, what does that look like? Well, let's take a look at it. The first thing that Jesus says is this. Do not be judgmental and censorious. Now, when I read that word in a commentary, censorious, I thought to myself, do I know what that word means? And I had to humbly go to a dictionary and look up what that word means. And here's what it means. Severely critical of others. Now, thank God none of us here in this room have that issue. The reality is we do have this issue, and this beautiful picture here, I think, captures it. I picture her going, moi? Me? And he really pointing out every possible detail of what's wrong with this person. Do you struggle with this? You see, what Jesus is not saying is that you don't make judgments in life. We do make judgments. We need to make judgments. We're called to make righteous judgments. But what he is saying, don't be judgmental, where you are just finding weakness after flaw after weakness, one after another, in the people in our lives that we are to love. Yet we do this time and time and time again. So pause for a moment. Do you have any challenges in your relationships of being a little judgmental, of being censorious? Where are you struggling? Where is this wrinkle? I find that this is present in pretty much any kind of relationship we have, be it husband-wife, be it dating, be it people you work with. You know, back in the day, I used to work for Amtrak. That's the nation's railroad, travels all over the country. And I was the crew chief, so all the employees would come to me for their instructions on the train. So I had about 25 employees, and I would have a crew briefing. Well, often in my crew briefing, I would give them a thought for the day, a passenger service principle. And a lot of my principles came from the Bible. I picked what I would call non-religious verses. Let me give you an example of one. Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Is that true? I mean, if somebody comes at you, but you respond to them gently, it's interesting. You can totally change the tone of that conversation. But when somebody comes charging at you and you go charging right back at them, what happens to the volume of that conversation? It goes louder and louder and louder. And before you know it, you are being judgmental. And the funny thing is, when we get censorious like that, we go into our reservoir of everything I know about you that I can pick on. Now, here's a beautiful thing. I've been married 34 years. My wife's right over there. So I got junk dating back years that I can pick on her with. But the downside is, she's got the same stuff for me. And so if we want to let our fights get out of control, it is so easy because we got junk on each other. But Jesus says, take a step back in all of your relationships, seek the kingdom, seek righteousness, and trust God with the outcomes, which means I don't have to win this fight. Because what God would have me do is pursue the gentle pursuit. And that is what I want to do. So that's the first thing that Jesus tells us about relationships. The next thing is this. It is a disease that many of us have. Here is the disease. It's called plank eye. Now, what is plank eye? Well, let me give you a visual description. Let's put that picture on the screen there. That is when you're trying to help someone with the problems in their life, so you start dissecting them, ignoring the problems in your own life. And this happens time and time again. So there was a young man, he was a junior in high school. And this is before report cards came by way of email. So the report card came, and you know, the kid was waiting by the mail every day because he knew it was not going to be a good report card. And he's like, oh man, Dad is going to go ballistic when he sees this report card. And then he gets an idea. He says, Mom, you know the way Dad is with my report cards. Do you have any suggestions? And Mom said, you know, your father is meticulous. He keeps everything. I bet we could find one of his report cards from his junior year in high school. So dinner time came. The young man comes to the table and says, Dad, here's my report card. And here's one of yours. Well, the father didn't skip a beat. He said, well, son, I'm going to give you the same thing my dad gave me from my report card. Hand over the car keys. But in that situation, what do we see? Dad had a plank in his own eye, and so did the son. But the truth is, you really can't deal with stuff until you get rid of the junk in your own eye. Let me deal with our area of marriage just for a moment. Let's say you are a guy who feels that your wife does not express desire for sexual intimacy to the same degree that you think she should. And so you're upset about it, you grump about it, you complain about it, you bellyache to your friends about it, you get a little snide comments to your spouse about it, and this just persists. But have you ever thought for a moment there may be something in your eye that is inhibiting this free exchange of love and an atmosphere conducive to intimacy? Case in point, maybe a friend tells you. Maybe it is a counselor who tells you and asks you this very simple question. Does your wife perceive how much you love her? Well, I'm sure she does. Does she know that you cherish her? Well, I think she does. I mean, just last Valentine's, I brought home some flowers. Oh, I'm sure that was lovely. Did you text her yesterday to say in the middle of the day, hey, honey, I'm just thinking of you. I love you. Have you done little endearments throughout the day? Well, she hasn't. Stop right there. That's dealing with the speck in her eye. Now let's turn again and look at the plank in your own. You see, when you are doing things for her only to get something back, you're not contributing to this in a healthy way. But if you genuinely see where is the area that I need to work on, that then I can now be in a healthy place to have a healthy conversation about where our marriage is and where we could work on this together. After the first service, somebody came up to me and they asked a great question. I said, Pastor Steve, I'm listening to you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. Are you saying I should make God my priority over my spouse? And I said, absolutely. And I said, but how does that make sense? I said, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm coming home and saying, honey, I'm becoming a missionary to India. I will see you later. No, you've missed the point. Because what does God say I'm to treat my spouse like? Ephesians chapter 5. Men, love your wife as Christ loved the church, being willing to lay down his life for her. Ladies, respect your husbands. And these verses, when I obey God first, it actually brings me into a better relationship horizontally. I use this example. Remember in gym class when you had to climb a rope? I don't know if they still do that. I'm assuming they do. But they had a gymnasium that maybe a ceiling this tall and this big thick rope that hung from the ceiling. And you had this contest. You had to climb up the rope. And it was humiliating if you weren't very good at it. But if you can imagine just for a moment that we have two ropes connected to the same pivot point up top. And one belongs to one spouse. One belongs to the other spouse. And I'm wandering over here with my rope. My wife is wandering that way. We seem like we're very distant and apart from each other. But what happens if we both start climbing the rope? They come together. Because the pivot point that is drawing us keeps us right below it. That's what happens when she's pursuing God and his righteousness and his kingdom, and I'm pursuing his righteousness and his kingdom. The end result, we are drawn together. And so the beautiful thing is that in this plank eye disease, our strength is when we come to God and say, Lord, where am I blind? Where am I not loving my spouse as I should love my spouse? How can I nurture this? And not look for these things that I'm doing now are to bring a special response from her. You know what? You do it because of obedience. But you know what happens? Because you have started, in the example I gave, started giving love to your wife and compassion to your wife and cherishing your wife. She is far more disposed to hear your concerns in this relationship because she sees you working on the issues that you're bringing to the table. So Jesus says in your relationships, don't be judgmental. Don't be censorious. Don't be overly critical. He says, in your relationships, deal with the plank eye first. Then you're able to have a conducive relationship moving forward. The third thing that Jesus said has confused many for so long. Do you remember this last verse we read in chapter 7, verse 6? Don't give sacred things to a dog. And don't throw pearls to swine. All you will do is annoy them and be ravaged by them. Now, put your brains together. What in the world is Jesus talking about? It feels a little mysterious here, but it's actually much simpler than you would even imagine. First of all, in the ancient world, a dog is not something you have in your house as a pet. Think of it as a ravenous animal outside the door, very similar, quite honestly, to the way the Middle East perceives dogs even to this day. Not always a very positive or friendly thing. Pigs, this is a food source, but it's also an animal that when you throw pearls at the pig, he's hoping for food. And instead, he's getting pearls. You don't want pearls. Not going to do any good for him. So what exactly is Jesus saying? Well, what he's saying is sometimes we invest in the wrong relationships. Now, I want to speak for a moment to the single folks in the room, okay? Do you ever find yourself dating somebody that you probably should not be dating? Well, years ago, I was sitting in the lunchroom at Amtrak, and this is before there were eHarmony, Christian Mingle, any of those things. How did people find others? They put ads in the newspaper, and people read them. So I used to like to read these things just for fun. I mean, I'm happily married, but I found that they were sometimes written very creatively. And my favorite one I ever read was this one. You can pop it on the screen. If you are a lying, drug-using, unemployed man living in his mother's basement, please do not answer this ad. We have already met. But if you are stable, employed, and seeking a healthy relationship, please call Lucy at... I never forgot that personal ad. It was hysterical to me. But how many times I have had people in my office, them telling me about, Pastor, I know he's not employed, and Pastor, I know he's kind of rude to me, and I know, and they're going down this list, and you know what I want to say as pastor is, run away screaming, because this is not the person for you to be with. And yet, we throw our pearls before swine, and we bring that which is sacred to that which will not have any appreciation. By the way, in Jesus' story, you're the sacred one. You're the pearl. But we sell ourselves short. And we end up in relationships that bring harm to us. But here's the comment I often get from people that I'm counseling with. Pastor, I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. And here's what Jesus says. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. And now comes the little promise. And all these things that you've been worried about will be added to you as well. Now, that statement, by the way, is speaking of God's sovereignty, God's timing, and our not being consumed with what we're craving, but being consumed with what God would have us crave, his kingdom, his righteousness. Which brings me to this last point that we take away, and that is my goal, my pursuit needs to be this. Trust the Lord and pursue his glory. Trust the Lord and may my life pursue his glory. I found this picture on Google Image. I liked it. It's a hand that you kind of reaching out to the sun, almost as if the hand could like grasp the sun. What is my responsibility? What is your responsibility as we live our lives? It's to pursue God. It's to pursue his kingdom. What does his kingdom look like? What does it smell like? Well, take a look through the Sermon on the Mount. And to use our little example, it's somebody who's not overly judgmental. It is somebody who deals with his own junk first, and then helps people with their stuff. It is somebody who does not cast themselves as I'm worthless, but I'll offer myself to you as a worthless. No, no. You are to see yourself as valued. You are a pearl. You are sacred. You are to understand yourself that way and walk around understanding that. That smells like the kingdom of God. That smells like the pursuit of righteousness. And now comes the promise. And all those things you worry about, food, clothing, who am I going to marry? Is this marriage going to survive? Those things will be added to you if you but now trust. What's the difference? It's the difference of what I'm worried about. Am I worried about the horizontal things around me? This person, that job, this situation? Or am I consumed with God's glory, almost as if I'm reaching out for it? That is my pursuit. That is what I want. That is what I need. Is this hard? Yeah, sometimes it is. But this I have found in my own personal testimony, that the best way to love my wife is to love the Lord. Because the Lord tells me how I'm to love my wife. The best way for her to love me is to love the Lord, because the Lord tells her how to love her husband. And the best way that we relate one to another is that we are consumed with the same lifelong goal of elevating Jesus Christ and seeing him glorified. And result, that we will be a people who are experiencing God's best. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that we have had the privilege here and now to worship you through being challenged by the words of your Son. Lord, we're asking that you will do great things in our midst, because we are choosing to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and trusting that all this other stuff will be added to us as we pursue you. Father, we know this is not easy, and I pray right now a word of blessing for anyone in this room who is single and wishes not to be single. Father, you know the desires of their heart. You know their passions. I lift my hand, Father, to each woman, each man who feels a longing and an ache. And Father, give them the supernatural sense and ability to pursue you wholeheartedly and trust you for all those other areas of life. Father, I pray a prayer of blessing over every strained marriage in this room. And they know who they are, and there's an awkwardness when these kinds of things are said. But Father, I believe that there is hope all over this room for any kind of relationship, because if Jesus enters the picture, this we know, all things are possible. And so, Father, we pray for our marriages, and we pray that they will have the faith and the tools to aim for your righteousness and your kingdom, and trust that you can bring the healing that is needed in our homes. Father, in all and through all, be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.